My name's Michelle. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's exciting to get together. It's Christmas Eve, and we gather to celebrate the birth of a very special child. Both the births of my two children were very special. My first child was a boy, and we knew that our second child would be our last. And because we knew that we weren't going to have any more children, I really wanted to know if this child was going to be a girl. And so I had some good friends that were ultrasound techs, and two of them scanned me, and they insisted that the child that was growing inside me was going to be a girl. In fact, one of them even said, "I will give my license back if it's not a girl." So I had this wonderful news, but nobody I could share it with, because my husband did not want to know the sex of the child. And so my doctor, when I would go visit him, he would tease me, and he would try and find out what the child was. And I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you, because you're going to mess up on a pronoun, and then you're going to ruin the surprise for my husband." So the birth of our second child came, and the doctor made the announcement. He's like, "It's a boy." And I remember in that moment thinking two things. The first was, okay, it's a boy. I am not disappointed. And the second thing I thought was, how much gas have I been sniffing? Had I heard correctly? I mean, I had been promised that this child was a girl. And so my husband and I pondered for a moment about the birth of our baby boy, until one of the nurses interrupted us and said, "No, it's not, it's a girl." See, my doctor was just being funny. He had decided in advance that he was just going to announce the opposite of whatever it was. Now, back in the ancient world, there were no ultrasound scans, but there was the promise of a child, a Messiah that was going to bring the light, a savior for the world. And there might not have been the jokester doctors, but there certainly were messengers of God. They were called prophets. And they spoke of the promised child's arrival 700 years before the birth of Jesus. There was a prophet named Isaiah, and he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And Isaiah also spoke of the virgin who would give birth to the child. And then there was another prophet named Micah. And Micah prophesied that this child would be born in Bethlehem, and that his greatness would reach the ends of the earth. And then there's another man, Zechariah. And this was just before the time of Jesus' birth. And Zechariah was a priest. He was the father of John the Baptist. And this is what he said about Jesus. He said, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace." Well, I just love how Zechariah calls Jesus the rising sun. There's a town in northern Alaska, it's called Barrow. And for 67 days each winter, the people live there in complete darkness. So for over 2 months, they do not witness a sunrise. And the people of Barrow might get used to it, but still, every April, they have a 3-day festival to celebrate the return of the light, to celebrate the return of being able to witness a sunrise. And when I think of the people of Barrow, I can't imagine what it's like to live in the dark for 24/7. You know, might be fun, might be novel for a few weeks, but then it would get tiring. And I wonder if God thinks the same thing when he is looking down on our world, wondering if we are tired of living in the darkness. And of course, it's not a physical darkness I'm talking about, but a spiritual darkness. Because he created us to be in relationship with him, right? To be in relationship with the light. But God the Father wasn't thinking, "Oh, you know, what should I do?" You know, how can I help them? They're living in darkness. God had a plan. In 1 John 4:9, he says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him." So this was not an impromptu decision or some reactionary plan. The Father knew he would send his Son Jesus to be a light to us. Now, back in the ancient world in the time of Jesus, people were just mesmerized by what happened in the skies, the light in the heavens. And when something remarkable, something different happened in the heavens, they believed that to mean that something significant was happening on earth. And so a new light, a new star, that meant that somebody very important was being born. And in the case of the Christmas story, that's true. But just because there's a new star in the sky, or it doesn't mean it's a brand new star. It just means that light from that star, which is hundreds of thousands of miles away, maybe millions of light years away, has finally reached our eyes. See, the star over Bethlehem wasn't new. It's just that God sovereignly appointed it for this time to shine so bright so that the people could see it. It wasn't a new star. It was just one we could finally see. And likewise, the light of God, Jesus, had existed for endless time before he entered the womb of Mary. Because the birth of Jesus was not the beginning of Jesus. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, came to earth as a human while remaining God. And this was a birthday like none other. I mean, the angels knew what was going on. They had been there when God created this planet, the entire universe. And now they are being, you know, they are witnessing God doing another remarkable thing. Jesus, God himself, coming as a human to save all of humankind. And so in light of this, the angels sang their first Christmas carol to the shepherds that were out in the field. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So why were the angels celebrating? Because Christmas is God's solution to what brought darkness to humanity. Sin. When Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, first discovered that Mary was going to conceive a child, the angel said to him, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save people from their sins." How did the angel know that Jesus was going to save them from their sins? Had God the Father revealed his plan to him? That this same baby that was just born was going to grow up and die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins? I mean, did the angel know that God was going to then resurrect Jesus' human body 3 days later so that none of us could be separated by death from God? You know, we really don't know how much the angel knew, but the angel that came to Joseph and the angels that were out singing in the field, what they did know, that if God himself was coming to earth, it could only be to save the ones that he loves so much, to save us from sin, to save us from our spiritual darkness. So Jesus came to be with us. The prophet Isaiah said that the son would be called Emmanuel. And El means God, and Emmanuel means with us. God with us. And so Jesus was in Mary, and Jesus was with the people of his day. But you know what? Things aren't so different now. Because when Jesus went back to heaven, back to his throne, he sent his Spirit to be with us, the third person of the Trinity. And for everyone who chooses to make Jesus King and Lord of their life, he dwells in us. So amazing as it is that the Son of God lived inside a human woman, it is just as amazing that Jesus lives in each one of us that is a Christ follower. So the light of the world lives in us so that we can be the light to everybody else. And I'll just give you one example of this. Have you heard about the church in the Netherlands? That they've been in the news since the end of October. And they have been having a non-stop church service since the end of October. There's this Armenian family, and they have lived in Holland for 9 years, and their asylum application has been denied, and so they're supposed to be deported. But there's this obscure law in Holland that says you cannot arrest anybody if a church service is in progress. So there are 550 pastors from 20 different denominations, tag-teaming, preaching, and leading hymns so that there is no break in the service and no opportunity for the authorities to take this family. And as of tonight, this has been going on for 114 days. So many people making such big sacrifices for one family, because that's what Jesus did for us. And this family has found safe refuge in the church, and the church is being a light to people in need. So Jesus is the light, and I encourage you to go and celebrate the birthday of our King. Go and enjoy your food and your gifts and being with the people that you love to be with. And whether tonight you are looking at your fire or the lights on your tree, or I know afterwards we're going to go down and see the lights down at Lafarge Lake, or maybe just even the stars in the sky, may all these lights remind you of the light that came into the world, the light that came to save us. Because saved people celebrate. They celebrate the one who saves them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us is just so great that you would do this, that you would come to earth as a human so that we could experience you, so that we could know your love, and so that you could put an end to death and sin, the things that separate us from you. This is just so incredible. And the angels knew it, and the angels sang, and they gave your praise. And even if they didn't even fully understand what's happening, they knew, God, that this was incredible. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill each one of our hearts. And if there's any darkness in any of our lives, whether it's from that we don't know you or we want to know you better, I just invite you to be the light fully in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.